Hi, I'm Murph from the Wombats, and I'm at the Fillmore in San Francisco.
The last time we formally talked was literally 2011, and that was truly around this modern glitch. Yeah. I don't think that was your first tour around it, but that was pretty early days to a certain extent, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially in terms of us in America. Yeah, I guess this modern glitch kind of provided us with a little flame of hope over here that we're still chasing.
You are here now four tours, I think it's probably four U.S. tours later for that record.
Yeah.
So that's called paying your dues and well, then some.
I'm trying to think of how many U.S. tours we've actually done and like what number this is. Yeah. This is probably like seven or eight. On this tour that we've been doing supporting Glitterbug, it's like we're playing a lot of similar sized rooms that we would do in UK and Europe. So it kind of feels like, you know, it's slowly getting there, but it's getting there somehow.
In a career, when you really are going to be looking back on this when you're 75 years old, are you going to say we made it in America or we got to get the music to a lot of people and they loved us?
Well, that's something kind of you're always internally battling with. Essentially, you're like a dog in a pack. You're always trying to find where you sit within everything. And I think as bands, you're always trying to figure out, or I'm always trying to figure out where we sit in the grand, like, huge opera that is, like, popular music. I have no idea, but we have longevity.
Yeah.
We've got that, but I don't think that constitutes, like, making it. I don't think we haven't had, like, one hit that's going to, like, you know, has set us up for life at all, but we've managed to garner some longevity, I think, which is
I kind of like what you said about Glitterbug, and I'm going to refer to, you know, things you've said, which I really, you know, always like to come back to. You kind of said that you're banging on, this is I'm paraphrasing, but you're banging on about the same stuff, which is songs about effed up shite, and I can say shite in the US. Shite is good in the US, you can say it.
Okay.
Effed up shite with girls. Is there really anything else worth writing about?
I don't know. It feels, it's not really whether it's worth writing about it. It's whether you can write about it and what it inspires you, like internally, to kind of be in a band and make music. And what is it that the message you're trying to convey? And it's like, I'm never gonna be. You want the one to convey a very, you know, powerful political message. Really, I just kind of write what I write about, and there's no point trying to dilute the pool and search elsewhere. You know.
And if you did, what would the audience hang on?
Well, that's the question. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you suddenly came out and said, I'm going to write songs about the environment.
I don't think there's not
Can
many
you
people. That's a
pretty,
yeah.
But the Wombats. No, but then the name of the album, and I'm being funny, is The Wombats, an Endangered Species.
Yes, yeah.
so you could do it when you come right down to it. I went all the way to China for a girl and almost got killed.
Oh, really?
Literally went into a bar and she turned on me and she was daddy's girl and then some and turned on me. And she wasn't from China though. The girl that you broke up with versus the girl now, what really informed these songs? And is it kind of a split on the album? Is it the girl that had all the effed up shite, or is it the new girl that is, girls from Chicago are normal, by the way. Rumor has it girls from Chicago are relatively normal till they get to LA and then, you know, everything happens.
It was more of a frustration about my relationship in the UK and like kind of searching for something more edgy and more exciting, and therefore had to create that because it definitely wasn't happening naturally. And then at some point I seemed to have, I found it, and then that kind of informed the next, the like last five songs of the album or whatever. And then as soon as I realized how it was piecing together, it kind of did feel like this one concept, which helped us kind of track, you know, list to do the track listing of the album. And it helped me, there was one song that I had like no idea what to do with the chorus. You know, we weren't a big fan of like the lyrics in the chorus, and it was like, well, it's a female name. And as soon as that happened, I felt like, well, this all makes sense as one kind of package now.
And when you're working with the other gents, and they're kind of, you're working together on the music, and I know that, you know, you tracked in one place, and then, you know, they kind of sent you tracks, and it was very different. You guys worked back and forth a lot. But do they ever kind of go, okay, we know this is your life, but can we put a happier chord here or something like that? Or have they just bought into the fact that you're the songwriter and that they get to add immense value on the musical background?
That's a very touching question. I don't know. I mean, how previous albums have worked and how kind of three quarters of this album worked was that I kind of, you know, wrote a song on a keyboard or a guitar and brought it in, and then we kind of mess it up and do whatever we want and try and make it more exciting than this kind of moody, kind of almost Noel Gallagher-y thing that I bring in. And then on this album, they like kind of sent over some tracks that I thought were great, and then we worked that way. And I think they're kind of just used to the fact that I do write very, very, you know, very personal stuff, and I think to a point where they may actually block out the lyrics when we're working on the song.
That's
and then when we're recording it, then they start allowing it to digest into the system.
Nobody ever talks about a Wombat sound. Nobody ever tries to genre-lize you, and that's actually really good. People just kind of accept what the band does for what it is, and they either say, we really like it, or they go, oh, you know what, it's not our cup of tea, yeah. Right? But that's kind of nifty in and of itself, because you don't get put in a box. Or do you think you do?
I think we do. The press in the UK, we've been pigeonholed due to, like, the Let's Dance to Joy Division, you know, Let's Dance to Joy Division, which was a big hit over there.
Yeah, sure.
And then I always think, I kind of reconciled the fact that, you know, oh, in the UK, we kind of are that Let's Dance to Joy Division band, but if it wasn't for that song, we wouldn't have, you know, sold out the tours and wouldn't have had the chance to come over here and blah blah blah. So I kind of, we do owe a lot to it as well, even though it can be a bit of a glooming figure sometimes.
And the other thing about this record, it feels yet a little bigger. Is that Mark Crewe?
For me, Mark just kind of stripped it back. I thought our second album, you know, I'm a massively cynical person, so I don't really focus on the positives too often, because they're positive and that's great. I want to turn the negatives into positives. And for our second album, I thought was kind of maybe a bit overproduced, and I was like, it can sound big, but it can sound thinner and cleaner and crisper. And I thought that's what Mark Crewe really helped us get. And it's like, you don't have to put 25 guitars down, you can just put one and make sure it sounds really good.
So LA and London, I've heard you say many times that you've spent so little time there, right? Because you're either on the road. So being in LA a fair amount, how has that kind of informed your whole persona?
If anything, LA has, I've kind of dealt with all the cynicism in the UK and in the cold and in the rain, really. And if anything, LA, I kind of find it quite a positive place. But obviously, it's only ever based around the people that you're closest to in that city, I think. And I've been lucky enough to fall into a great pack of friends, I only feel better for it, to be honest. But you know, I flew back and forth from LA to London a lot last year and the year before that. I haven't lived there yet, so I have no idea what living there and actually settling down, and when love endorphins kind of calm down, you know, maybe that's when I'm going to experience the true...
Love Endorphins, name of the fifth album. Can you imagine? It's like, this is the Wombats with Love Endorphins.
That'd be terrible. That's a bad name.
You've perfected your reality and shared it with people, and yet as those people are watching tonight, they have these imminent kind of zen-like smiles on their face. So do you think maybe that is your success, that you've decided to be that incredibly transparent? And then because we know that the greatest songs are the ones that the sound is very sugar-coated, but the lyrics actually say something. Those are the ones we all really love, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't know what to say. Yeah, to me, then they're not happy songs. They've never been happy songs, but I mean,
but these people are gonna be, you know, in the mosh pit tonight, floating to your absolute miserableness.
But it's so much fun, isn't it? Like,
that's what I love about it.
Sharing your kind of creepy thoughts with the world and connecting with them, and I think that's where the true like happiness and the fun from the Wombats comes, is that it's like an arrow straight inside you and vice versa. And I don't know.
I know it's hard talking about yourself. Who do you think, I thought I was trying to think about this, because I always think about this Who do you think your female doppelganger is? Who do you think is the female you who's managed? I mean, I have some ideas, but who do you think?
I don't know. Well, I'm kind of hoping that my girlfriend at the moment is that person. Kind of, we're creepily similar.
Are you happy with the record? Do you listen to the record and say, you know, I got it where I want to get it. Now, you know, Devil May Care in terms of whether it takes us to the next level of reality.
I still haven't listened to it.
Really?
Yeah. So
you just go out and play it on stage, and you're playing it on stage as you feel the song should be on stage, but you don't really have a clue what they sound like when other people.
I've obviously like okayed all the mixes and stuff.
But you haven't sat and listened to the record.
One to 11 or 1 to 13, depending on which one you've got. I haven't.
Is that purposeful? Have you just decided that's just not a worthwhile venture?
It's just got to be like the right. It's just got to be the right time for.
Has your girlfriend done it?
I think so. Yeah, because then it's like it's kind of. It's done, it's dusted, let's move on. And I'm not kind of ready to move on.
We put together a thing called a musical sandwich. Okay. And it's two of your songs as the bread, and then a song, songs by a pile of others in between.